Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snack Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome back to the Starting Five podcast on SB Nation Grizzly Red Blues. I am the one, P Shark.
I am at underscore Scully on Twitter.
I am the Otter Trevor, aka Trevor, aka the Corner Man, aka Trillin' Brooks. What's good?
Hey, man, it's really shitty passing down to the big fella.
Yes, sir. At Tev Shakira, what it do? What it do?
What it do? What it do? Indeed, man. First, we got to start off. We got another player preview podcast coming up. A couple of shooting guards on the roster. But before we get there, our big man, the big fella, Big Steve, as Trev like to call him. Big Steve.
Big Steve and him. Let's get it.
Yes, sir. Got an extension, man. 2 years, $35 million. So, had to check in with the guys. What y'all think about his extension?
I think we should let Big Steve's big number one fan go first, honestly.
Oh, so the guy that told everybody that y'all was going to love Big Steve and them? This was actually a pretty decent deal for Steve. I know, of course, it was a contract year for him. Of course, last season, he was in and out of lineup in the playoffs due to COVID. Wasn't as effective as we would want him to be. But since him getting this deal and since his play and since he's gotten here, we've shut up a lot of JV detractors who was against this trade when it went down on draft night, and a lot of people saying that they were going to miss Jonas Valanciunas. What we gave up in low post scoring and things of that nature, we gain in a better defender, better rebounder, somebody who's going to make life easier on the defensive end as far as rebounding as well, and of course, by him being dubbed one of the strongest men in the NBA, being able to set screens and create space for Ja, which opens up the game for everybody else. So I'm happy that the Grizzlies were able to retain Steve, and it looks like this may be the start of a long line of Robert Parra looking to try to keep this core intact and possibly going to the luxury tax to try to sign everybody. So be on the lookout. Sky's the limit.
Call it maybe a play to maybe ensure that Triple J plays better. In the sense that where I'm going with this is to say what we saw from Jaren Jackson Jr. last year came as a byproduct of Steven Adams, right? So there were people on this podcast, there were people on the starting five or within the starting five that had reservations or they had pause for concern when it came to Triple J. And I think for the most part, that talk was quieted just a little bit last year, partly because of Jaren Jackson Jr., but mainly due to Steven Adams. And when I say that, we saw Jaren Jackson Jr. and Steven Adams play well together. So maybe the contract, and you know, I'm just trying to look at, you know, I'm trying to be devil's advocate when I say this. Maybe the coaching staff, maybe the front office was looked at it to say, when we saw the best of Jaren Jackson Jr., it was alongside or as a part of or due to Steven Adams playing with him or being able to tell him, you know, how to move were to be defensively. And so that's where I'm going with this to say, I think this, you know, I think that the Grizzlies front office was definitely trying to assure their front line. But I think they also maybe kind of looked at it in terms of like they looked at it from where I'm looking at it, from the point of view of we saw Jaren Jackson Jr. play at a high level because of Steven Adams or in due to Steven Adams. And so I think that's where they're trying to go with this. So I'm happy for Steven Adams. Personally, I'm not sure if I would have gone to the level of giving him an extension. I'm not saying he's not worth it, but I would have maybe held that card, or I would have maybe held that spade in my hand to say, let's see how the rest of the game, or let's see how the rest of the season plays out. If I was making the shots on this one. So at the end of the day, I'm happy for Steven Adams, and I'm happy for the Grizzlies, you know, organization to get this done. But that's two ways that you want to spend it if you want to look at it that way when it comes to Steven Adams' contract.
What we gained from Steven Adams coming to the Memphis Grizzlies was toughness. And we've seen that whether he's, you know, carrying a Bull or Bulls players around or just pushing people in the paint. Like you alluded to, Trevor, the strongest man, probably pound for pound, in the entire, entire league. However, I will kind of volley the point of, you know, we actually, Steven Adams has not produced as many rebounds or points as JV did. When you look at the last season that JV was with us as opposed to Steven Adams last season with us. Now, there could be a multitude of different things, though, too, right? Like, you know, Jaws' ascension, Desmond Bane's ascension, even, you know, bringing in Zaire Williams, right? There's been a lot of other things and key pieces that have happened as well. But I like it for us, for the Memphis Grizzlies. I believe it also, the money value of what we're giving him gives it, if things were to work out to Skylar's point to where, you know, his Triple J ascends as well, does Steven Adams become a tradable piece, you know, in a year or two with this type of contract? And then what do we get for Steven Adams from there? And so I think it's also a leverage piece as well because we've been drafting big as well. We still need to fill the hole that is the void of Triple J being out. And so to me, I think it's more of a chess move by us to get him. And in case things don't pan out, what have you, can we go grab a big real quick for someone that needs a Steven Adams-ish type of player moving forward?
Yeah, sure. I think you hit it right on the head as far as that aspect. But I think, you know, paying Steven Adams now lets, you know, the players like Ja, like the Desmonds, like the Triple J's, maybe even the Dillons, let them know, like, we believe in y'all. If y'all think that you all can win with this team, with this culture, okay, let's go for it. And if you look at how Steven Adams played last season, he wasn't Jonas Valanciunas. Like, I'm a huge fan of him, still is, you know, of him being in the Grizz. But what Steven Adams did bring was that toughness, was his rebounding. He averaged his career high 10 rebounds last season. He also averaged his career high in 3.5 assists last season, which I think, you know, even if you look in the past to like how we kind of play with Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol was one of the better big man passers in the league. So I think, you know, being able to get a Steven Adams, who I think is the second best passer on the team, just look at, he damn near got a highlight film of passing at this point. And he's doing it as a center. So I think you can kind of play with that a little bit, especially if he can come in and shoot. We're going to talk a little bit about what we kind of want further in the preseason. But if Steven Adams can come and just give us that midi like Marc Gasol used to, it makes us that much more dangerous, especially when I think he'll have even more assists next season. But kudos to Steven Adams, Trevor's boy. You know, he got paid, you get the big bucks, and we love him down here in Memphis. So, I mean, but, you know, we brought him here to win, and, you know, we brought him here for when Triple J goes down to continue to, you know, defensively hold the paint down. And that's what we got him for.
Yeah, it was definitely kind of unexpected. Did nobody see that coming, right? He's free agent next year. So I don't mind the extension at all. At the number, it's still a tradable contract. You still keep your trade asset. as well as a player who came in. And like I said, him and JV are completely different players. Nobody expected him to average what JV averaged, and that was the purpose of the trade. JV was taking touches away from Ja. He was clogging up the paint from Ja to get to the lane. So you trade him for a center who doesn't need the ball, right? A center who's going to set hard screens for Ja to get easier baskets. Set your screens for Ja to get to the goal. The defense collapse, kick out to Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks, everybody for three. So that definitely helped that and defense. Giannis wasn't a good defender. It just called spade a spade. Steven Adams, of course, when a team goes small like Golden State or like Minnesota, they can play him off the court. But typically, he can switch, and he's a really good defender in the paint. Also, like say, he helped Jaren out. Like when Jaren really played well next to Steven Adams. So kind of keeping that core together, especially with the Grizzlies, the way the team like each other and everything, it definitely, in my opinion, I like the move. Judging by media day, I think Brandon Clark, it sounded like he's about to get the deal done. So you go ahead and extend him as well. I think they're locking up the core for the next couple of years while also still maintaining that the contract isn't too big where you can't trade him. He's still a tradable contract.
Yeah, Robert Perry about to start spending money.
Can I ask y'all a quick question real quick?
Well, hold on. Skyler had something.
Yeah, okay. Real quick. Okay.
Yeah, and it's more so like shit, for the a question, like, why did the Grizzlies, you know, and I think look at it from two aspects. One, I think he's going to, at some point throughout their season, there's going to be, let's call it maybe 10 or 15 games where he can give you maybe like, I don't know, a 20-10 or maybe a 20-15 because he's going to be able to finish at the rim when maybe Ja's getting doubled and tripled as he's getting to the paint. And, you know, he's there to for Ja to dish, you know, give him those buckets right at the rim. But I think, too, I think, Sharky, I know you mentioned, I think Sheedy mentioned it, too, and I'm not sure if anybody else did, but, like, he's kind of a bully. And I think you need that when it comes to playoff time. Like, you need somebody that's not willing to back down to other bigs. You need somebody that's not willing to back down when other guards are trying to make an attempt at the rim, trying to dunk at the rim, or trying to, you know, make layups at the rim. He may not be able to block the shots, but he has that stature. He has that, like, he has that presence in the middle to where, like, you're going to maybe think it twice when it comes to, like, trying to, you know, trying to take a basket at the rim. And I think that's what he does for you. And that's, again, for those that may be trying to question, like, why did we extend him knowing that he was potentially going to be a free agent in the offseason? I think that answers your question.
I think, Skylar, and it's funny that you brought up that point, and you know what I'm saying, that linkage is there because I kind of wanted to talk about what happened in the playoffs, and that was Steven Adams being on the bench. So I just wanted to ask y'all, if the playoffs come around, let's say hypothetically we come in and playoffs do blah, 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 whatever, and Steven Adams is on the bench on the time when it matters the most, is this a bad contract? I think that's kind of where we got this. That's out of the fan base as well.
So you got to remember, it depends. Matchups. Each playoff series matchups is different matchups.
Yeah.
Minnesota, he's played off the court. But in the Golden State series, he came through pretty big, right? His injury, him being out, well, he had COVID or something. Those first
games, him and COVID was the death blow right there.
And when he returned,
it was ironically the only person to catch COVID in the NBA.
Well, actually, it was a couple others, like Bam.
It was a few others as well. Yeah. But it was just at an inopportune time in the playoffs. And then when he came back, it was just too late.
Mm-hmm. And he played a big role. Was it game four when Ja first got hurt in game four?
Yep.
It was game three. He returned to game three that Brad played him. Game four, he made a huge impact. He was a huge reason why the game was close. Then game five, he got hurt in game six. He had an ankle injury. So he showed up in that series. So it's kind of one of them deals where it's just going to be matchup-based regardless. You just got to hope you don't. And that's why you got a team like you still got Xavier Tillman on the team. Why if Santi Aldama ends up playing like he played in that first preseason game as he continues to improve, you got players who you can kind of rotate in and out and kind of help mitigate that. But I can see how fans could think that contract could be bad because of, you know, him not being able to play in the series. But like we was comparing to JV, JV has played off the court against Utah the season before. So the centers in the NBA is just hard if you're not like a shooting center these days anyway.
If you're not, I mean, honestly, ladies and gentlemen, For those that are listening and those that have that issue with if Steven Adams is off the court during that time, it's not like this man is making 20 plus million a season anyway. So, I mean, let him sit. If the matchup isn't what it needs to be, it's not what it needs to be. And so just let it be. The reason why we made the playoffs and the reason why we were so at the number two seed is because of Steven Adams. So let's not forget what got us there, too, with having Steven Adams with us. I'm sorry.
No, and I think you were going to go, you're on the same track that I was going to go to in terms of, like, I also feel like to see Steven Adams' worth, I think will also be based off, like, can Taylor Jenkins put him in situations to where he will thrive? And again, it goes back to the playoffs. The regular season is a long season. It's 82 games, and there are going to be times where Steven Adams may not show up. And I think there are also going to be times in which he does. And I think the most important time, and when you can determine, is did an organization pay this person the right amount of money? In my opinion, it comes down to the postseason. Draymond Green, again, said it best last season, is there's a difference between a regular season and there's a difference between the postseason. And that's not only applicable for players, but I think that's also, like, true for coaches as well, to say, Steven Adams, you may not deserve to be in this series. You may not play a single minute, or you may only average 5 minutes, you know, a game in this particular series. But this next series, or this series against X team, I need you, and I need you to come up big. And I think that's where the coaching comes into play, to say, I'm going to need you, Steven Adams, or X player, to make a difference in this series. And you might not even have to score, but I need you to, again, set hard screens. I need players to feel you. I need players to understand that you're there. And I think that's where Taylor Jenkins has to come. And I think he will do it. I'm not saying that he won't, but I think that's where Taylor Jenkins to, with this contract, to say, we signed Steven Adams for this particular reason. We gave him this amount of money. And again, it'll be showed in the playoffs.
And also to piggyback off their point, leadership and ego. Steve Adams, not many players who's a starting player, you can tell them, hey, you're getting played off the court in this series. And he sit there and not pout, not complain, and come back in the Golden State series and actually does his job, right? So not many players can do that. So that's something to be said about that as well, who could still be on the bench and still be a leader on the bench and actually encourage his teammates and not just sit there and be like, I got bench. I'm Steve Adams. I'm getting paid this. So that's something to be said about that as well. And that definitely matters with team chemistry, especially this team who's a close-knit group. He's definitely big for this team going forward. So that's it for Steve Adams, man. We'll move forward to, let's go and get to our player previews. We have first up this week, Desmond Bane. Desmond Bane. So as y'all already know, he had his big coming out party last season. A lot of us on this podcast wanted him to be the starting shooting guard coming into the season. Figured he would be, especially after the trade of trading Grayson Allen away. And he did become a starting shooting guard, and he did even better than I even thought that he would become. He averaged 18 points a game on 46% shooting, 43.6% shooting from three in 76 games, had four rebounds, 2.7 assists, one steal per game. So Desmond Bane, man, for him to be the number 30th pick or very late in the first round, and for him to turn to that and to see him and Ja like turn to one of the best backcourts in the NBA was definitely something special to see. So coming into this next season, what do y'all expect to see from Desmond Bane this upcoming season?
I can go first, and really, I'm not going to even ask too much of Desmond Bane. I just want a continuation of what I saw last year. Sharky, you literally like spit the numbers out. I'm like, damn, he's shooting a cover off the ball. So I feel like if he can continue to do that, if he can continue to give you 76, 77 games throughout the season with those shooting clips that you just mentioned, again, I think that makes the opposing team defense make sure that you can't, again, you can't double John Morant. And I think that does a couple of things. That opens the floor for John Morant. That opens the floor for the team. And that opens the offense, again, as a whole for the Memphis Grizzlies. If he's shooting that well, if he's making timely baskets where maybe John Morant is off the floor, or maybe when John Morant is on the floor and he can take that pressure off of John Morant, that makes, you know, that makes everybody's job better. So, again, all I'm asking for is just to do the exact same thing that I intentionally, and I think we all know that he can do, which is shoot the three ball, which is, you know, be able to take pressure off of John Morant. If he's going to shoot that clip of a percentage from the three-point line, that's good. And that's essentially what we're asking for. My concern is if he gets hurt. If he gets hurt, who in the hell is going to shoot the ball for the Memphis Grizzlies? You can look up and down the roster all you want to, and you can hope and pray that Zaire Williams can fill that void, but we don't know if he can fill that void. So if Desmond Bane goes down, I am really, really concerned in terms of what a spacing look like for the Grizzlies. So I'm just going to hope that he can continue to do the same thing. And if he does, then I think then we can comfortably say with no trolling that he's one of the better shooters in the league. You can put him up there in terms of, like, you know, you can put him in a three-point in a three-point shooting contest when it comes to the All-Star game. He's one of those people that you absolutely have to, like, jump and make a good contest at when he's open, or when you're, you know, trying to make a good defensive play for the Grizzlies. So we shall see. But I'm just hoping that he continues to do what he did last year.
I'm going to be that guy. He was right around 20. I want to see him get to 20. But I don't think that's going to be that much that difficult for Desmond Bane. To Skyler's point, all he really needs to do is just continue doing what he's been doing since he's gotten to Memphis. And if he continues to shoot the ball well, I think last season he was right around 42% from three. If I wanted to throw a goal out there, just to throw one out there for Desmond Bane, I kind of want to see him flirt with a 50-40-90. Because he's that well of a shooter. He's right around – he shot from 46% from the field, 42 from three, and I think around the 80s in from the free throw line. So he can shoot the cover off the ball. He can shoot the skin off of it. It's not even an issue. So,
Sharky, you got a point. He shot 90.3% from the free throw line. So
he was right at 90. So my two tasks for Desmond Bane for what I want to see, I want to see him get north of 20 or at 20 at the very least, and look to flirt just a little bit. He flirted with it last season. I want to see if he can possibly become a 50-40-90 guy, because I think he has the capability. Of course, the only concern, of course, with Desmond Bane is going to be his health and how we're going to replace him when he's out of the lineup. What's that going to look like spacing-wise? But when he's on the court, you have to stay honest with him. So you can't double jive off of him, because that's just you giving up 3 points right out the gate right there. So for me, man, this man just needs to keep doing what he's been doing. And I think if he's doing that now, he can definitely accomplish these goals and just blow these out of the water. Be right around 20 to 22 a game, 50-40-90 from the field. So that's all I got for this, man. It's not much I can really say other than just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, and I would actually be okay if his three-point percentage went down, you know, just a tad, maybe a percent or two, because regardless, he's just proven this season that he commands that attention from the three-point line. And so to me, I would like to – and I believe he met what I asked last year, right? I wanted to see a little bit more ball handling from him, and it worked to get him, you know, north of 15 is at 18 a game. The one last thing I would like for him to work on offensively is just what is that move that you have once they, you know, people are coming to close out to you on a three-point shot? Like, how can you be a little bit more aggressive at that point? Whether that is, you know, taking a step to the left or to the right of the defender, or taking a step inside of the three-point line instead of reloading again at the three-point line. So I would like to see that. And defensively, I would like to see him take on – he did take on some tough defensive assignments. I wanted to see him take on all tough defensive assignments moving forward. So whether that's Damian Lillard's in or, Steph Curry or Luka Doncic, whoever it may be as a guard, I want to see him just continue to give more leverage, so to speak, to Ja to rest on offense, on defense, so to speak. But he did that somewhat last year, but not as often. Sometimes I would also spell that time as well. But that's what I would like to see offensively. Again, a few more steps inside. What does that look like? And defensively, guarding the best guard that the other team has more often than not.
I know what you mean, Sheeta, but that's normally a task for Travis Boyd Dillon. You know what I'm saying? As far as like guarding the guards.
Assuming Dillon's not on the Grizzlies anymore, he would.
Oh yeah, like and to he see definitely would have to
step into that role. Yeah,
oh, definitely. I knew what he was saying, but I mean, just look at like how physical he is, and I think an underrated trait of Desmond Bane is him finishing at the rim. We saw that in the playoffs. So Trev, you putting that goal of 50, 40, 90 on him is fair. And it's just fun to say that the Grizz have a top 10 3-point shoot on the team. Like if you look at the numbers, he was literally at number 10 in 3 points made last season as well. I think he averaged like 3 a game, so keep that the same, bring that up a little bit, average to 20, 20 points, especially with Jaren gone, we're going to need that extra scoring punch. So I put it on him at least while Jaren is going to give us 20 points, at least. But still, if he can continue to do what we ask of him and get, better defensively, get around a steal and a half, something like that, I think that'll make us that much better. Become more of a two-way player because he definitely got the potential to be. But he's the perfect perfect castmate to Ja Morant.
And to that point, that's probably the reason we still need Dylan Brooks for that reason. We really need Dylan Brooks to take less shots on offense and take on those defense. And he does take on defensive responsibilities. He just tries to shoot a bunch of shots while taking on the defense responsibility. So we need him just to stick to defense responsibility.
Like you're shooting 15 plus. We need you at 10 at the most.
Right.
That's what that is.
And Desmond Bane shot 14 and a half per game last year. So that needs to, him and Dylan need to switch in that regard. He also attempted 6.9. He hit 3 out of 6.9 attempts, so almost 7 attempts a game for 3. Gets about 8-9 attempts a game. His defense was pretty solid last year. And I saw someone, I can't remember who wrote the player preview for GBB about Desmond Bane, but they made a great point saying he used his to make up for his length because his wingspan is short. He used his size, how big he is, his muscular, and make up for all that. And same thing with him scoring at the rim. He, his wingspan, he got short arms. He made with his size. He made up for it, even scoring at the rim and on defense. So that definitely helped with Desmond Bane's development. Also, summer league just helped out a lot, put him in point guard, make him more of a ball handler. He definitely did really well on the ball. So things I'd like to see, kind of like what Trevor said, gone with stint to that 20 range. I remember one of my guys, Justin Harrison, he said Desmond Bane's rookie year. He said he's gonna be an all-star. I'm not saying he needs to make the all-star team this year, but I ain't saying he needs to make it, period. But what we saw from him last year is when Justin said that he's rookie year, I was like, nah, he gonna be a solid 3-point shooter like a Mike Miller type. Well, I saw last year, it's like, okay, that's not out of the realm of possibility anymore, right? Especially that Minnesota series where he averaged 23.5 points a game for this series and 27 points per game for the last 4 games of that series. He was arguably our best player because there was a lot of games who started out slow. I remember, I think it was game 3 or game 4 in Minnesota where we was like flat and Desmond Bane hit like 3 threes in a row type of thing. Like he, and I remember Damian Lillard even tweeted, he was like, bro, the Grizzlies could be drafting their ass off. Because he was just seeing Desmond Bane like drop buckets on Minnesota. So it's really like amazing to see his development, how quickly he got to even the point that he's at now.
I think another thing that I want to see is just like I want to see where like there's a couple of games where like he absolutely like goes off. I think for the most part we've seen him have the 3 of 6 games from 3 where it's 4 of 8, but I want to see where there's a game where he just goes like 9 of 15 from three. And it is, and it's multiple games from that. Because the thing about it is, like, he's, I know that he can do it. Like, it's nothing that, like, I'm saying that I know that he's not capable of. Like, I'm pretty sure there's a couple games in his back pocket that this, that Desmond Bane has where, like, yeah, I can go 9 of 15 from three, or I can go 10 of 17. I think he has that. And so, again, to, for, I hope he can have games like that to where, again, it makes teams, it makes the opposing team think a little bit more, or makes them react a little bit or half a second slower to where maybe they normally would defend y'all, where they now have to think about Desmond Bane on the three-point line. And so if he does that, I'm all for it. That means less of Dylan Brooks. I know that there may be people, you know, not on this podcast or maybe even on this podcast that want to see Dylan Brooks. I am all for anybody and everybody doing everything that they can to where Dylan Brooks gets that many minutes. And for those that do not see that, it is this many. And if you can guess how many this many is, that's exactly how, that's how many minutes that I want Dylan Brooks to get. I am cool on Dylan Brooks. And if Desmond Bane can step it up just a little bit from three and a little bit offensively, that's more or less of Dylan Brooks than we will see. And I'm good on that.
You just gonna have to accept the fact that Dylan Brooks is the grind, son, and you're just gonna have to just
live. Dylan Brooks is the reason why Desmond Bane won't be an all-star. There I said it. There I said it.
I think all the guards in the West will be a reason why Desmond Bane is not an all-star.
No, thank you, sir.
I think all the guards in the West are a reason why.
Sometimes it literally be your own people, bro. I don't expect it right now because you're trashing Dylan Brooks right now. Let's go around and ask the people this though. Do you expect Dylan Brooks or Desmond Bane to shoot more, to average more attempts? Not make, but to average more attempts. My vote in that is still Dylan Brooks. Who do y'all think?
I think it's Desmond Bane.
I think it's Desmond Bane as well. I think Dylan is really going to buy into, hopefully, and I do mean hopefully.
What's one of the commandments? Well, let's be real now.
I'm actually with you on this one. We want Desmond Bane to take more shots.
Statistically,
right now, Dylan Brooks is taking more shots, and I think that will keep Desmond Bane
from being an all-star. So you got
I wouldn't go that far.
I'm not going that far.
Run the Hail Mary. Go ahead and run the Hail Mary.
Run down the guards in the West who can potentially be an all-star. And then before you get to Desmond Bane.
You start with Ja Morant. He's on the team.
Obviously.
You got Luka. You got Steph Curry. You got Damian Lillard. That's four right there. If Anthony Edwards is considered a guard.
So you literally have what? Two extra spots as opposed to the two guard spots in that starting that's voted upon?
It does help that Donovan Mitchell got traded out the West.
Exactly. And who knows?
I mean, it helps a little bit, but
basically, although Clay didn't make it last year, basically I expect Desmond kind of replace Clay in some form or fashion.
And that's one.
Probably not this season, but he's probably going to, because I don't think I expect Clay to get back to
the and call me crazy. I ain't gonna say it. Never mind.
That's if Jordan Poole doesn't take those.
Jordan, I don't see Jordan Poole becoming all star level though.
I'm with Trevor on this one. I don't think Dylan Brooks holds Desmond Bane back from getting, you know, from an all star bid. I don't think that's going to happen. But again, to what Shark said, I don't care if he's an all star. I don't care if Desmond Bane is an all star. But I'm gonna tell you what I think. What I could potentially see is what Dylan Brooks did last postseason. You cannot forget. I'm sorry. I don't care if you were a general fan. I don't care if you've only watched 50 games. I don't care if you watched every single minute of the Grizzlies last year. You cannot forget what Dylan Brooks did. And I think I'm of the mindset to where the Grizzlies, they're going to trade Dylan Brooks at some point within the next 365 days. And hopefully it's less than the 365 days. I think they're going to trade him. And I think it's a matter of what does Desmond Bane look like and what does Zaire Williams look like. And if they both are a tick above where they were last year, I think Dylan Brooks is traded because of what he did last year. And what he did last year, you simply cannot forget that he did that. So I'm with Trevor. I think Dylan Brooks is not the reason that Desmond Bane is not an all-star. If Desmond Bane is not an all-star, it's because there's some other shooting guard, or there's a slew of, or there's a couple of guards that just were that much better than Desmond Bane. But I don't think Dylan Brooks is the reason.
Real quick, Sheedy, before you go, man. Skyler getting his Rick Ross on right now, man. God forgives, I don't.
And let's also not forget what Dylan Brooks did 2 years ago, too. That was against the playing scenario. I will say that. Now, but what I will ultimately say is the person that would hold, to your point, to what you're saying, is who's going to hold Dylan Brooks, Desmond Bane back and get more attempts? Coach Jenkins. If Dylan Brooks ain't on the floor, how can he shoot the shot? So there's that answer, to be honest. That's a compliment to where we're at.
Yeah, because a lot of stuff with Dylan Brooks, I really blame my coach, Taylor Jenkins. I know a lot of things happened last year in the playoffs. Desmond Bane had the back injury, so he wasn't himself. Ja was out. So, yeah, Dylan was going to do what he did. And like I said, so Jekyll and Hyde, he kept us in that last game against Golden State, but he also arguably lost it at the same time.
He lost us the game, but he also kept us in it, which is kind of weird, but it is what it is.
Like I said,
but my thing is with this, and I always wondered about this, is how much of this is more so Taylor Jenkins not reeling it in? Because you guys got to remember, Dylan Brooks is literally the last person on this Grizzlies team from the quote-unquote grit and grind era. Like, he was literally the last person drafted. Everyone else is with this, of course, with this new regime. So how much of that is Dylan just trying to quote-unquote be the vet, and how much of it is just Taylor Jenkins not, you know, willing reeling him in and saying, hey, Dylan, we know what you can do. We see what you're doing, but you're best when you're doing this. Like, you're at your best when you're not trying to create shots for yourself. You're at your best when you're in a catch-and-shoot situation. You're at your best when you're playing your butt off on a defensive end. Like, we have everything that you're trying to do already. We just need you to knock down three or four threes, help contain the other team's best player, stay out of foul trouble, and don't do nothing stupid. That's all we're really asking of you at this point. Go ahead, Chief.
Yeah, before we get to Danny Glover here,
clock out for me.
He's been around everywhere, huh? He's been around everywhere. You
know, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Lethal Weapon looking. But what I'm trying to say here is, to your point, Trevor, do your job. Dylan Brooks was, and I'm going to give him his accolades. Dylan Brooks was drafted by us because he was the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. He was not the Pac-12 Player of the Year, which would thus ensue stats of him scoring, I don't know, north of 20-plus in the Pac-12, which I don't even know who else is in the Pac-12, Pac Division, Pac whatever, Pacific, whoever it may be. But regardless of the fact, do your job. Sorry.
If you watch their run in the NCAA tournament, it was a little – I mean, they didn't go all the way, but they still had a nice little run. Like, that backcourt with him and Tyler Dorsey was actually kind of nasty. I will kind of push back just a little bit right there. I'm saying the tournament. That's all I'm going to say. I ain't watched none of the Pac-12 during the season, but, yeah. His run in the tournament with Oregon was okay.
Former Grizzly Tyler Dorsey at that. We sure had him for a second. All right, man. We need to let Dylan Brooks hijack the show again. let's get on to
the games. Golly.
I try not to bring him up. Y'all always consistently bring him up, and I got to defend him in places where he needs to be defended. So that's it.
Well, I think this was a valid combo as far as, like, you know, Dylan, though. I think it kind of needed to be added, though, you know.
Yeah, it did, because, I mean, like I said, Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks go hand-in-hand with the touches and everything. So let's go on, get back on track with Danny Green, not Danny Glover. Like I told you, he had to clock out for me. Danny Green, who I just saw at the restaurant. I was at Carrabba's. He pulled up there, had his hood on and stuff, man. So shout out to Danny Green, checking out Memphis finest around here. But Danny Green was traded here. He's been around the team a whole lot. Summer league, sitting with the team on the bench, sitting with the team with the preseason game. He's he's around. He seems like he's real show that veteran leadership. He is hurt. They do expect him to play this season. So I think he tore his ACL back in April. So it would definitely be later in the year. But he does have three championships, right? We said we want veteran experience. Also, I think I saw Parker Fleming tweet this or wrote an article, but he did say the Grizz is still kind of want to develop players as well. They might have the best of both worlds in him where he has the veteran leadership, but he also want play and play as much even when you get back because you're still trying to get the other younger guys, especially all the rookies that they just drafted. So Danny Green's numbers last year when he was with Philly fell off a little bit on the average of 5.9, basically 6 points a game. Shot 38% for three, which is pretty good. 39% field goal range, though. So pretty much he needs to stay behind 3.9 only. He's about 35 years old now. So it's that point in his career where we need another shooter. That's him when he whenever he returns from injury. So what do y'all expect from Danny Green this season, long as he's on the roster?
I expect from Danny Green what I wish that the Grizzlies would have been able to kind of get from a roster perspective, like that level of veteran leadership last year going into the playoffs. And so when I say that, what I want from Danny Green is hopefully Danny Green has had some type of recollection within himself to say, I'm not the Danny Green of, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, right? Maybe he says to himself, now that I'm hurt for majority of the season, maybe I can help this Grizzlies team, or maybe I can help the team that I'm playing for when it comes to being able to, you know, having that veteran leadership or for like from a player standpoint, like how to guard LeBron James, how to guard Kevin Durant, or what moves should I make, or what tape or film should I study going into this particular matchup series or when it comes to the playoffs, or maybe in just even just like a regular regular season game. Like, that's what I'm hoping to look for. And so, like, I just want him to be able to talk to Zaire Williams a lot more. I know Zaire has talked about watching a lot more, like, Desmond Bain film. But, you know, call it. I mean, I wouldn't mind him saying, you know, I want to watch some Danny Green film. Because at some point, at some point in time, Danny Green was a respectable guy. Let me finish it before you give me that look. Like, if you look at what Danny Green was to the Spurs, it was him being able to play defense. It was him being able to make, you know, those corner threes. That's what Danny Green was, you know, that's what he was. And so hopefully that's what Zaire Williams is. It's being able to know what spots you need to be in when it comes to the fast break. When Ja Morant is coming off a screen rolling right, where do I need to be on the floor to get an open shot? That's what I'm hoping that we can get from Danny Green, is to feed or hype up or essentially be Zaire's hype man. Everybody loves a hype man. And so Danny Green and Zaire Williams is almost like the exact replica of each other in terms of body build. And so maybe Zaire can learn from where he needs to be on the floor. How can I make sure that when I'm on the fast break with Ja, where I need to be, or if I'm playing alongside Desmond Bane, where do I need to be? Or if it's defensively, how can I guard Devin Booker? How can I guard Anthony Edwards a little bit better than I did last year? That's what I'm hoping for. I don't care how many points Danny Green scores. I could almost care less what his three-point field goal percentage is. I could care less essentially about any of that. Sharkey hit it right on the head when in terms of, I think the Grizzlies are legit trying to figure out what players they've hit on, who potentially we could move away. And I think with them trying to, again, understand exactly who Zaire is, can he ensure that Zaire is continuously trying to be a better person or a better player for what he can for this Grizzlies team in terms of spacing, in terms of when to make shots, or how to become a better defender. So that's what I'm hoping for. And I said all of that to say, bang, bang, here you go, Shady. Hopefully he can be a better version of what Udonis Haslem is to the Miami Heat for the Memphis Grizzlies. I'll have it then, and I'm done.
I was with you all the way till you said hype, man. That's That was my only way that
I'm pretty sure he lost everybody listening when he said hi, man, Trevor.
That's what we got. That's what we got. That's what we got. Got BLJ for, man. The great, the best.
Exactly. That's what BLJ is for.
If nobody else in this podcast understand it, it should be two. Two. You are a DJ. DJs love somebody that's going to be hype. DJs loves people that
the Grizz have DJ too. DJ Mike T. Come on, man, get with it.
You need somebody to get you. You need somebody to get you a little bit more motivated. You need somebody to get you.
Man,
You in West Memphis now. I need you back on I-40 coming back eastbound. You in West Memphis right now.
That's okay. Y'all get it at some point.
I know what you're getting. You're just calling it the wrong thing. Like, what you need Danny Green to be is exactly what everyone else is saying the Grizzlies need, and that's a veteran. So, yes, you want him to, quote-unquote, groom Zaire Williams to kind of show Zaire, like, hey, this is what my career looks like, and this is what's possible for you. Knowing how to guard the other team's best player, knowing where to be to hit open shots, like, my career, I might not be where I am in my career now, but I'm a three-time champion, and I've got it doing X, Y, and Z. So you want Danny Green to be a veteran and try to be that guy for Zaire Williams. But at the same time, if he's going to be on the court, that's another shooter on the court. Let's just keep it being. So you can never have too many shooters on one team as long as they are able to at least try to play defense. Let's just keep it a being. So what I'm expecting for Danny Green, assuming he suits up for the Grizzlies and assuming that he's on the court, that he's getting minutes, I expect him to hit shots. It's just as simple as that. And just do what you've been doing for your entire career. Now, if he's not getting minutes, I would rather see him be the mentor. That's the term that you need to be using for Zaire as opposed to hype man. I need him to try to be a mentor to Zaire if Danny Green is not going to get a lot of minutes to help show Zaire, like, hey, how my career has gone, it works, and it helps win championships. So, again, I'm with you. You just used the wrong terminology. It should have been mentor as opposed as a hype man.
Can he be a mentor of pom-poms?
Also known as a hype man.
No. I say a mentor. I say a mentor, not a hype man. So
need y'all, man. But basically, we need him to be what Andre Iguodala didn't want to be for Memphis, and that's probably what he's going to be. What Andre Iguodala is doing for Golden State is probably what Danny Green is going to be for us, which is what Andre Iguodala didn't want to do for Memphis.
We knew what Iggy's heart was. I mean, that's his college basketball.
But I'm saying basically that's what he is. That's what he's going to be to Memphis. What Iggy was to Golden State last year. He did play a little bit, but he was mostly on the sideline, dressed up in street. He was hurt in street clothes, hyping up, mentoring Jordan Poole, John Kuminga on the sideline, and he was helpful for Golden State winning that championship.
So, Danny Green, I am not taking away his three championships. I'm not taking away.
Hey, I'm glad you called him by his name, man. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm not taking away. I watched him deliver some daggers with the Spurs against the Miami Heat. And I mean complete daggers. You're talking about the NBA Finals, the greatest spectacle. That's where everyone wants to achieve and get to. And I also saw him do not too bad with the Raptors, right, as well. The thing about Danny Green now is the good part about this, and you talked about the shooting already, is at least he's not going to be going against first-team defenses because we have that spot solidified by Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks, whoever is going to be 2-3. Danny Green, even when he comes back from his injury, is going to be coming off the bench. So he should still be giving, you know, those 6 to 7, 8 points of himself. And I agree. I believe he can be a good mentor and a good polo wearing gentleman, veteran that you're saying. I just don't know how much he's got left in the tank to produce on the court, so to speak. I mean, you say shooters are going to shoot all the time, right? I get that part. But the injuries that he sustained over his course of time since he recorded, what was it, Predators 2, I just don't know how much more he has to give. So that's all. Like, yes, he's going to be a great mentor. Yes, he can tell you, like, how to stop defenses, so to speak. But I just don't know if this is going to be a roster spot that could have been used for something else as well. So I'll leave it there.
I shouldn't have muted you, Mike, when you said after you recorded Predators 2.
You really should have.
I understand. I understand you don't have some causes of pain, man, but don't bring it over to Memphis.
He hurt. Hey, what did it say? Hurt people, hurt people?
Yep.
So, I mean, Sheedy, for you, is like you say you wish that, you know, this spot, or you think this spot could be used with somebody else when, you know, Skyler said, you know, if he would have been around last season, how would things played out, right? You know, because that's what we wanted, was that veteran mentorship. Like, we seen Danny Green, he's been a part of teams that, you know, potentially could win championships, and they ended up winning championships. Like, you talk about the Spurs going against the Heat. The Spurs could potentially win with a young Kawhi Leonard, and they did. You know, the Raptors could potentially win, and they still got Kawhi Leonard with the Jesus shot, but they won nonetheless. And then Lakers could potentially win the finals, and, you know, he's seen a lot of things is what I'm trying to say. So the fact that you could help mentor Zaire Williams, it'll be a plus, because Danny Green's has seen, you know, the forwards and, you know, what they're – he's worked around some of the best forwards in the NBA, if not the best forwards in the NBA. So if he can have that effect on, you know, maybe even Dylan Brooks as well. Maybe he can have that kind of effect on teamwork, you know, both ways, hopefully. You know, so that's to have him on the team is something that we've been needing, especially since we traded Jay Crowder. Like, we needed somebody to come in and just help. So, and of course, bring back Jay Crowder. I'm on that team as well. But shout out to
Danny Green. Bring him back without giving up assets.
What's that?
I said bring him back without giving up assets.
Yeah, we'll talk about that another day. But even, like, since, you know, it still hurts when, you know, having veterans come and they don't want to be here. You know what I'm saying? We went through the whole Iggy thing. We went through the whole Allen Iverson, even going back then. So Danny Green wanted to be here. You know, players like Vince Carter, you know what I'm saying, wanted to come and help mentorship with the young players. I think that helps a bunch, especially with a team that's really able to go for a championship right now.
Yep. And to be fair, I say his field goal percentage was 39%. His career field goal is 42%. So it's not like he's ever been an effective field goal shooter. But his three-point percentage, 38% last year, of his career, 39.9, basically 40. So he still can shoot threes, right? And that's what we'll need from him. And we're veteran leadership. And not only for Zaire, like I said, even potentially Dylan, he could help rein him in potentially, right? If not, hey, got a year left on the contract. We might be trading him anyway. He could help Desmond Bane, like, help his ascension. He could help Jake LaRaville, another shooter, rookie we just got. David Roddy, he can help in a lot of areas as a true mentor and someone that wants to be here and someone that's actively around the players. Just him being there at Summer League, right? Like, what veterans y'all know to show up at Summer League like that? Him being at the preseason game, he's rehabbing his ACL injury. He's still on the bench with the team, traveling with the team. That shows a lot. That just lets you know. And I think he has a relationship with Taylor Jenkins from San Antonio. You know, Taylor Jenkins is on the Greg Popovich coaching tree. So definitely a plus with Danny Green, or Mr. Daniel Richard Green Jr., as I'm seeing his actual real government name in front of me right now. Never knew that. I knew it was Daniel, but I never knew the fool. I know. But, man, what you got, Sheedy? What you got? But, yeah, man, shout out to Danny Green, man. We're ready for the season, y'all. These last two players we had to preview for. And that does it for the show, man. So, as always, remember to follow us at the Starting Five, the number 5 MEM. Follow the Grizzly Bear Blues at SBN Grizzlies. Check out the articles at grizzlybearblues.com, including my Zaire Williams piece that should be coming out before this episode drops, simultaneously, whenever. It's coming out around the same time this episode drops. So by the time y'all hear this episode, it may have already been out. Listen to the other podcasts on Network, GBB Live, Core 4, Next Gen, and Grizzly Bear Bets that just dropped their first. He just dropped his first episode for some bets for this Grizzly season. And, of course, you know, you can find me at the one, D-A-O-N-E, D-A-O-N-E underscore P-Shark.
I'm at underscore Scott Litter on Twitter. Again, thanks for everybody that's listening to not only this this show, this podcast, but also Let's Be Real too. We have a huge season coming amongst us. So again, as Trevor mentioned it several times before, if you want with us shooting in the gym, then get a ball, I guess. I'm not even sure what I was trying to say, but yeah.
Let me correct my guy. Shoot with us in the gym while you still can, because when the price go up, you ain't going to be able to get in the gym. And you're going to be wondering, can I get a toe in or how much I got to pay to get
inside? That's going to be sounding like Rick Ross. When we sound like Rick Ross, you want me to shoot in the gym.
You may get left out.
Exactly. But anywho, I'm at the Art of Trevor. Y'all know what it is by now. Of is a preposition. Capitalize every other word. Y'all already know.
I'm at the Lethal Weapon. It's really Sheedy. That's it.
Okay. We're keeping the Danny Glover things going now. So I see.
At Tam Shakir, man. We appreciate y'all for rocking with us.
Oh, man. Till next time, y'all, man. Go Grizz.
Go Grizz.